If you have your Bible here this morning, I'd like to preach for you from a text in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 36 and going down to verse 38. Actually, what we'll do is we'll start in verse 21, rather, read through verse 24, and then pick it up in verse 36. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. You can follow along with us on the screen. But let's turn to Luke chapter 2, again, starting in verse 21. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now go with me to verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. And she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, a widow's Christmas. I recently read about a lady who was a bit of a penny-pinching cheapskate. And, of course, the days of Christmas were counting down. And like some of you, this lady was also a bit of a procrastinator. And so she waited to the very last second to mail those Christmas cards. And she knew, after counting, that she had 49 cards to send out to friends and family. And so, in the 11th hour, she rushed into the store, bought a package of 50 cards, didn't really look at them very well. She was in a big hurry, and so she addressed those 49 cards, postaged them, drove them to the mailbox, or the post office as it were, and sent them on their way. Well, the day after Christmas came, and things had quieted down somewhat, and she happened to come across one of those leftover cards. And she finally opened it up, those cards that she had sent out to her friends and family, and much to her dismay and chagrin, here's what the card said. This card is just to say a little gift is on the way. Now, in the hustle and bustle of Christmas, it's easy to just go through the motions. You've maybe heard it said like this before. Just fake it till you make it. The endless stream of presents and pageants and parties during this season can leave us burdened and behind and, yes, even broke when that credit card bill comes in after Christmas. You see, for some of us, this time of year brings more hassle and heartache than it does happiness. If this season is hard for you, then listen to this message. If you are looking more forward to December 26th than December 25th, then I have a story for you to consider from the text in Luke chapter 2. And I'd like for you this morning to compare your plight with that of this little widow lady that we read of here in the birth narrative, a lady named Anna. Now, she's a minor character, you might say, into the cast of Christmas. Honestly, we really don't know a whole lot about her, except what Luke tells us in these few verses where she appears. We know that Anna was there along with Simeon on the day that the holy couple brought the Christ child to the temple for sacrifice and for dedication. And then, as soon as Anna emerges on the pages of Scripture, my friends, she fades away, never to be heard from again. I love what John MacArthur wrote about her in his book, 12 Extraordinary Women. Listen to what he said. Quote, "It is truly remarkable that when Jesus was born, so few people in Israel recognized their Messiah because he met none of their expectations. They were looking for a mighty political and military leader who would be a conquering king. But Jesus was born into a peasant family. They anticipated that he would arrive with great fanfare and pageantry, and yet God's Son was born in a stable almost in secret. The only people in Israel who did recognize Christ at his birth were humble, unremarkable people. Anna was blessed by God to be one of those handful of witnesses who knew and understood the significance of Jesus' birth. Think of that," he wrote. "God came to a poor widow, not royalty. Thus, she deserves a prominent place in any list of extraordinary women." If you're feeling alone, forgotten, insignificant, or broke this Christmas, I think Anna is put in the pages of the Bible for you. In today's message, we're going to learn from Anna three ways that God ministers to the broken, the lonely, and the forgotten. So if you're taking notes, I want you to see number one, our lesson is this. The birth of Christ gives healing to the wounded. The birth of Christ gives healing to the wounded. Let's remind ourselves again, verse 36 and verse 37. The Bible says, "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then a widow until she was 84 years." Highlight that right there. By the time that we are introduced to this lady, Anna, she is elderly, and friends, she has traversed through some dark and lonely valleys over her 84 years. The Bible tells us that just 7 years into her marriage, her life was shattered by the death of her husband. Now, as a widow in this culture, you need to understand that if you were without a husband, without a provider, without a protector, what this meant is that your life was going to be one of struggle and poverty and hardship and, yes, loneliness. Can you picture this dear lady coming home night after night after perhaps gleaning in the fields for whatever scraps of grain that she could get, and coming home to an empty home, a dark home, and perhaps as she looked over in the corner, there was her husband's old cloak. There was his sandals that was still unmoved, and this precious woman lived with this inner ache of grief and pain and what might have been had death not stolen away her man. She could have easily, in that time of grief, blamed God. She could have easily grown bitter against God and said, "God, why me? Why did you have to take such and so? He was such a great man. And Lord, now here I am all alone in this home, just trying to make do. Lord, do you even hear me in my grief?" Am I preaching to anybody here today? Maybe who's lost somebody? And every year when the holidays roll around, you put on this front, this mask of happiness, but deep inside there's great grief because you know there's going to be an empty spot at the table. Christmas just isn't the same anymore because Mama made it so special. Or Daddy was just so into the decorations or the lights. Or your loved one who just went out of their way to make Christmas a special time is in heaven. Now, there's something significant about Anna that you need to notice here. Anna gave her grief to God. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says in verse 37, after it talks about her heartache and her pain of being a widow, that, watch this, who did not depart from the temple and served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Friend, that tells me something significant. That here's a woman who walked through the deepest valley of grief and pain and yet didn't grow bitter at God, didn't blame God, didn't quit going to the house of God, but doubled down on her service for Him. And somewhere along the way, we don't know how or when, Luke doesn't fill in the gap, but somewhere along the way, this precious lady handed to God the broken pieces of her heart and said, "Here, God, this is what's left of my life, and so I'm giving it to You and the rest of my years." Now, friend, that'll preach right there. By the way, the Bible calls Anna a prophetess. I had to do some digging this week about that. Do you know there are only 5 women in the Old Testament who carried that title? There was Miriam. She was the sister of Moses. We read about her in Exodus 15. Deborah, we know her exploits on the book of Judges, chapter 4. There was a lady named Huldah in 2 Kings 22 who was called a prophetess. Then an obscure lady in Nehemiah 6 named Noadiah, and of course Isaiah's wife in Isaiah 8:3. Now, a prophetess, what is that? Well, it's a woman who had the gift of declaring and teaching the Word of God. That's simply what it means. And I'm glad to say that I think we've got some ladies in the church who fill that role very well, and praise God for them. They're great teachers. They're very eloquent. They're faithful in discipling other women and children, and so they fill that role. But I believe that Anna, according to this title, she had a deep knowledge of the Word of God, and therefore she taught and spoke with great clarity. But here's what you need to imagine. That it was the death of her husband which was the catalyst for her fully committing herself to the Lord. In fact, friends, I'm going to go so far as to wager and say that were it not for the death of her husband, she perhaps would have never made that commitment to be faithful in the house of God. So now she has this huge void in her life, and she has no children, and so she's got to fill that void with something, and so she pours herself into the work of God. Do you see what I'm saying here this morning? I can hear her praying. Can't you? In your imagination, maybe she said something like this: "Dear Lord, I don't know why You took my beloved husband from me, but God, in faith, I'm trusting You with this plan that You have charted for my life. I don't understand it. There are times when I don't like it, but God, I'm trusting You that since You've taken my provider, my covering, my husband, that God, You'll be my provider, You'll be my husband, God, You'll take responsibility for meeting my needs." And you know what's fascinating to me is that the Lord would design this appointment that happened there on the steps of the temple between Anna and Mary, these two precious women of the cast of Christmas. Because both of these women, although they are separated by decades of time, have something very unique in common. And that is this: both of these women had to learn how to surrender to the mysterious will of God. You think about this, my friend. Neither Mary nor Anna's lives turned out to be what they first envisioned the dream of their life would be. Mary did not ask to be the mother of the Messiah. That was thrust upon her, and God chose her, and she acquiesced to the will of God and was obedient to that. And likewise, Anna was the same way. She never expected to be a widow at such a young age. She never expected to have to reinvent her life just 7 years after she said, "I do," and doing that unexpected funeral for her husband. But I'm telling you that instead of becoming bitter, Anna did something so precious that you and I need to see here. She dedicated her widowhood to God. She gave God her pain, her grief, her problems, her need, and everything else that was left. And friend, that simple act of transferring her pain and her problem over to God is what changed everything. Because she was able to, by faith, give that over to the Lord. This is what set in motion the domino of events that eventually led to this precious moment where she would get to meet the Messiah, Bethlehem's babe, the Christ child, there in the temple. And as I said, were it not for that introduction of pain and heartache, she may have never chose this life for herself. But because she was able to relinquish that to God, it set her on an appointment for a very blessed thing. And so here's what I want you to see. Do you know that Isaiah spoke a prophecy 700 years before this event in Isaiah 61 and verse 1? And in that prophecy about the coming of the Messiah, look at what it says there. The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Watch this. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, my friend, all that pain, all that grief, all of that widowhood and all of that that was wrapped up in it was met by the introduction of the Christ child that day. And I believe that God made good on this promise and He healed the wounds so deep in this woman's heart. Because the thing that she longed for, the thing that she had hoped for and studied and knew from the Word of God, it came true. And God kept her that promise to her. And then she understood why God had allowed her to take that pathway that she wouldn't have chose for herself, because God wanted to show her something about His provision and His goodness and His promises. But she had to walk through a long valley of 84 years before she got there. Anna's story, in fact, reminds me of another great woman of faith. Her name is Elizabeth Elliot. She was the wife of missionary martyr Jim Elliot. I want you to listen to this. Jim and Elizabeth sacrificed everything to be missionaries in Ecuador. And in 1956, Jim was speared to death while attempting to reach the remote and hostile Huarani tribe with the gospel. They made a movie about this called The End of the Spear. If you haven't seen it, you should. Well, here's Elizabeth Elliot. She's a widow in a foreign land with a 10-month-old child. What would you do? She could have packed up and moved back to the United States and nobody would have blamed her. But instead, Elizabeth believed that God had a plan for her and that the martyrdom of her husband was not in vain. So here's what she did. After Jim's funeral, Elizabeth did the unthinkable. She went back to Ecuador, and she moved into the village of the Huarani people, and she set up a school. Now, that's crazy radical faith. And since the Huarani had no written language, she developed an alphabet and taught the people how to read and write. Why? Because she wanted them to meet the Savior, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. She taught them the gospel, and hundreds of Huarani people came to Christ. And in 1992, listen to this, the Huarani translation of the New Testament was complete. Why? Because one widowed lady gave her mess, gave her heartache, gave her grief and her pain to God and said, God, I'm giving you the broken pieces, and if you can do anything with this, I'm trusting you for Romans 8:28 in my life. And perhaps the most amazing twist in the story, listen to this. One of Jim Elliot's killers, a violent warrior named Minkaye, that's in their words, that means the wasp, he came to faith in Jesus Christ, and then he was the pastor of the First Baptist Church of the Huarani tribe. Friend, you can't write that. Only the grace and the providence of God. Here's what Elizabeth Elliot wrote. She said these words in one of her books. The will of God is never exactly what you expect it to be. when our plans are interrupted, His are not. His plans are proceeding exactly as scheduled. They include our years, which seem most useless, wasted, or unendurable. Sometimes, she said, life is so hard, you can only do the next thing. Whatever that is, just do the next thing, and God will meet you there. What a precious word today. Oh, friend, if you're struggling today with grief, with sadness, with loneliness, and you think, Lord, I can't go on any further. God, I can't see the end of this valley. Lord, the mess of my life, it makes no sense to me. Friend, I'm telling you, do what Anna did. Do what Elizabeth Elliot did. You take your pain, your grief, your problems, and you redirect it into the hands of a good and loving God, and He'll do something that you never could have imagined. He'll put it back together again, and He'll show you grace unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, friend, if Christmas is tough this year, you offer to God your grief, and He'll trade it for grace. No, number one, I want you to see here today, the birth of Christ gives healing to the wounded. I hope I'm helping you so far. Then I want you to see here today, number two, what else does this text teach us? That the birth of Christ gives hope to the waiting. The birth of Christ gives hope to the waiting. Look what verse 37 says. Here's where I get this. And then, as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. You think there was some hope wrapped up in those prayers? Some faith wrapped up in that worship? The Bible tells us that Anna was a woman of incredible prayer and persistence. In fact, you might say it like this. What Rembrandt was to paint and Beethoven was to music, Anna was to the discipline of prayer and fasting. She was no stranger to knee work, and as I study her life, I surely would have wanted to be a preacher on her prayer list. Because I guarantee you, she got through to God. But don't miss her persistence and her patience here. The Bible says, very clearly, she did not depart from the temple. Oh, praise God for that word right there. Because we have so many faithful women in our church who work their fingers to the bone serving the Lord. Don't we have some precious Proverbs 31 women in this congregation? And that right there fits them. They will not depart from the house of God. What a precious thing that is. Anna found joy working in the temple. And Anna triumphed over the excuses that so many people make for staying away from the house of God. Aren't we good at creating reasons why we shouldn't go to church? And yet the Bible says of this dear lady that she was there night and day. Friend, I want to be there when the church doors are open because I don't want to miss out on what God might do in our midst. And let me remind you that He's been doing a lot of miracles lately. And friend, that winds my stem, that stokes my fire. I'm ready to come to preach to the house of God because God might save somebody. God might set somebody free. There's still a sermon to preach. There's still a song to sing. There's still a family to counsel. There's still a lost person to be saved. And friend, I don't want to miss out on any one of the miracles that God might do on any given Sunday. You just tell me when to preach. I'll preach at the drop of the hat, and I'll drop the hat, brother. Amen. And when God's working and God's moving in your life and in your church, that's the place you want to be. Sunday morning, Wednesday night, that's the highlight of my week. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to be begged or drugged to church. I don't leave it up to my wife to decide whether I'm going or not. If she feels like it, oh, honey, I guess I'll follow you. I really don't want to go. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God. Amen? You didn't realize church could be so fun until the Spirit of God started stirring in your life. And then all of a sudden, it's not dried up as last year's corn shucks. It's not just religion. It's just not a checklist of things to do. It's a people of God meeting to hear the Word of God, being filled by the Spirit of God. Oh, friend. By the way, let me remind you, in case you forgot, having overcome that food coma from last night, praise God for those sirloin tips. Let me remind you of what God did in our midst last night, saving two on a Saturday night. Praise God for that. Now, I want to fill you in on the rest of the story that I got after the service. This is how God works, just like the way He worked in Anna's life. Phyllis's sister, Miss Peggy, right here. Sorry, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just bragging on God. Miss Phyllis is an incredible woman of faith. You know how I know that? She's a prayer warrior like Anna. Because she gets in there in the prayer room with us week after week. And you know who she's asking prayer for? Pray for my family. Pray for so-and-so. Pray for my sister. And Miss Peggy, you don't know, but you were set up a long time ago. You were prayed into this body of Christ. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. And look what God did last night. God answered a prayer. God came through. And all because one woman said, I'm going to get in the trenches and I'm going to dig deep and pray my family into the house of God. And then also last night, the young man, Dakota, 26-year-old, who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, tears streaming down his face. His mama was there crying with him. What a precious thing. But here's the other side of that story that I didn't know until later, until Brother Adam told me. Do you know they weren't even supposed to be there last night? You know why? Because they had invited somebody else to be at that table. But plans fell through for those people, and suddenly there was an opening. And so they called Dakota and his mom and said, hey, why don't you come and be a part of the Christmas celebration? I'm telling you, that's not an accident. That's a divine appointment. And that's how my God works. And friend, what I want you to see here is that it's the message of Christ and the gospel that brings hope to those who are waiting. Hope to those who are waiting for God to answer a prayer, or for God to move a mountain, or for God to save my prodigal son or daughter. And by the way, let me just throw this in here for free. How do you think Anna recognized who the baby was? I know that Simeon was there and they were making a big deal with Mary and Joseph. But let me clue you in on something that I've learned from walking with the Lord. You see, friend, when you walk with the Lord, when you're sensitive to the Lord, when you're desiring and hoping that God will do something in your life, you know, when you're praying and you're seeking God, the Bible says in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, call unto me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and many things, wondrous things that you do not know. My friends, it's no accident that those who are at the house of God, those who are in the prayer room, those whose faces are in the good book, those are the ones who see God come through. Those are the ones who see God move because they have an expectation in their life. They have a hope in their life. And my Bible says in Isaiah 43 about our Lord, all those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Praise God, I've never been disappointed in my Savior. Just look around at what we experienced last night. Probably the most we've ever had in our family life center. Look around at all the faces here today of people who weren't sitting in these pews just a year ago. Praise God for young people. A whole row of young people who got up and sang praises today when just a few months ago there wasn't no youth praise band. I'm telling you, I was hoping for it. I've been praying for it. I remember when we were just barely trickling along, but look what the Lord has done. He hadn't disappointed me,
God's done over and abundant and beyond what I ever could have dreamed. And you know what? As old Brother Jim Whitted used to say, I think we're on the little end of something big, Brother Stan. You believing with me? Praise God. So what are you waiting for today? Think of how long Anna waited for this day. Think of how long she read those passages in Jeremiah and Isaiah and Micah and so long and thought about the coming of the Messiah. And she had no clue that she would be the recipient and the witness of that great blessing. What are you waiting for today? Are you waiting for that salvation of that friend or loved one that's on your heart? Are you waiting on God to meet the need in your life? Are you waiting on God to break that mountain in two? Are you waiting on God to help you in your job? Or are you waiting on that special someone? Friend, I'm here today to tell you, some things are so good and so complicated that only God can do it. So don't insert yourself into the problem and try and solve it yourself. You wait on God to do what only He can do. Because I'm too dumb, I'm too finite, I'm too weak. I only understand about three things that God's doing in my life. And behind the scenes, He's working together a million different details that they will come together providentially and be a miracle in my life if I just sit back and wait on Him. Amen? Friends, Anna shows you this too. Oh, God, help me. Anna shows me this. God hadn't forgotten you. He could have chose to have his son go meet any kind of royalty, any kind of important person, anybody of the upper crust of society. But God charted a path for His little baby son to go touch the heart of a poor little widow lady. My friend, don't you think that God has forgotten you? Oh, His eye is on the sparrow, and His eye is on you and your grief and your pain and your waiting. He's there. You just wait on Him. You just keep praying. You don't give up. Hey, He's never abandoned you, child of God. He didn't leave you when you were sick and there was no answer. He didn't forsake you when you were standing by the graveside of a loved one and said, I don't know how I can walk through this valley. Hey, He was with you when you didn't have a job and you didn't have two dimes to run together. He didn't leave you in that. He didn't leave you when you were lost and undone without Christ in this world with no hope. He came for you because you couldn't get to Him. Oh, my God. Oh, what a darling Savior we have here today. Whew. My friends, number three, I want you to see this, and I'm done. Number three is this. The birth of Christ gives help to the witnessing. Healing to the wounded, hope to the waiting, help to the witnessing. Look at verse 38. I'm almost done. Just hang with me. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God. Watch this. I love it. And to speak of Him to all who were waiting on the redemption of Jerusalem. Did you see that? She didn't have to be told to go out and tell the good news. It was busting out of her. After beholding baby Jesus, Anna becomes one of the first gospel evangelists. She's there before Peter, before Thomas, before Brother John. She gets the honor to be one of the first to preach the good news. And here she is up in her 80s. I don't know if she had a cane or not. Maybe she had a hitch in her step. I don't know. She could have used every excuse. Oh, I'm tired. I got arthritis. I don't feel good. But now, praise God, my eyes have beheld the Savior. I've got a new purpose in life. God's met my need. I've got a new calling. Simeon, get out of my way. I got to go tell my little circle of ladies about what God has done in my life. You see, anybody who had a pulse round about there in that temple, as long as she had breath in her lungs, they was going to hear her testimony. And I love that when somebody gets on fire for Jesus. You know, too often in church, we mature Christians who've walked with the Lord, we throw a bucket of cold water on these new Christians and say, hey, you better calm down. You're making the rest of us look bad. But friend, let me remind you what God did for you. And we have every reason to brag on Jesus at the grocery store, at the gas station, at work, at school, wherever your feet may take you, you get to take the greatest story that's ever been told about the greatest man who ever lived, who did the greatest act of love that could ever be done. And yet, we're afraid to share that message. Oh, I'm afraid of what people might think of me. Blah. Can we get over ourselves? Can we get over the fear of man and realize what a great privilege we have that when we get with people, after we talk about the weather and the last night's ball game and the stock market and how bad politics are, hey, I've got some good news to share with you. Let me tell you about what my preacher said on Sunday. Let me tell you about what happened in the prayer meeting. Let me tell you about my God. Amen. And I love how this Christmas story weaves all these different kinds of people together. You got the shepherds who were the first there on the scene to witness the birth of Christ. You've got the sophisticated magi traveling across a desert to come and bring him gifts and to worship him. You've got Mary, a little teenage girl who surrenders to the will of God for her life. And then you've got elderly Simeon and Anna here. You know what that tells me? Jesus is for everybody. Jesus is for people of all ages, all backgrounds, all races, all languages. I don't care where you're born, where you come from, how old or how young you are. Jesus is for you. And friend, age isn't an indicator of how useful you might be to God. God doesn't look at your age or your ability or your affluence or your ancestry. What God looks at is not ability, availability. And this little old God, you can use me to be your mouthpiece. And friend, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, God's got a purpose for you in this church. God's got a calling for you. Lay hold of that calling with all the gusto that you have in your bones and fully commit that the rest of your life you're going to give to Jesus to be the best of your life. Amen? And don't pass over her preaching either. She preached about, began to speak of him, Jesus, who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And then look at this. The redemption is that special word. That's God's Savior and God's salvation right there in that little phrase. You know what redemption means? Redemption means to buy back that which was lost. To purchase that which the world has redeemed, throw away. That's exactly why he came. God's Son came to provide the redemption that we could not pay. He came to pay the ransom fee to purchase us off the slave block of sin because we owed a debt we could not pay, and he paid a debt he did not owe. Ephesians 1:7, in him, Christ, we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold or from your aimless conduct received from the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, of a lamb without blemish or spot. Thank God for Mary's little lamb whose blood was shed so that we could be bought back. How do we respond to this? Well, if you're not a Christian today, maybe the best gift that you can receive this Christmas, exactly the best gift you can receive this Christmas, is the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of our Lord. All you have to do is repent of your sin, turn and call upon the name of the Lord. If you are a Christian today, maybe the best gift that you can offer our Lord this Christmas is your obedience to be a more faithful witness. To say, Lord, help me in 2024 to tell more people in that year than who I told in 2023. And help me to be about your business, Lord. By the way, as I close, say, preacher, I'm not eloquent. I can't sing. I have basically no money. Nobody notices me. How can God use a little insignificant peon like me? I thought you'd never ask. Pastor and author Mark Litton wrote about a little widow lady in his church who came to Christ in her 70s. By the way, what a rare thing it is for an older person to come to Jesus. Because usually older people are already set in their ways, and you ain't changing their mind. This little widow lady, because of her declining health, was restricted in her activities. But nonetheless, coming to Christ at the end of her life, she said, I want to serve Jesus in some way, Pastor. How can I do it? Pastor Litton said, let's pray about it and ask God to show you how he might use you. Then one day, while sitting at her piano, a thought came to the little widow's mind. This is a true story, by the way. The next day, she placed a small ad in the Oakland Tribune newspaper, and here's what it read. Pianist will play hymns by phone daily for those who are sick and despondent. The service is free. Just call this number. That day, the widow's phone started ringing off the hook. When people called her, she would ask, what hymn would you like to hear today? And over the years of her playing, she brought hope to hundreds and thousands of people who called her to hear her play. Many of them freely poured out their hearts to her, and she was able to encourage them and point them to Jesus. And here's the best part. On the day of her funeral, even though this widow lady had no family left, her memorial service was packed out with people that she played for over the phone or personally led to the Lord Jesus Christ. What can God do with me? You just make yourself available and you'll be surprised at what God can do with a little broken person. That's all he's got to work with, broken people. And maybe that describes you today. Broken, without hope, without help. Your heart is aching and hurting. Oh, but the Holy Spirit is wooing you now. As our musicians are coming, we're going to have a time of invitation, and maybe you need to respond to this message here today. You need prayer. You need to be saved. You need to rededicate. You need to join this church because God's made it abundantly clear. So as we stand to our feet today, Miss Elise is going to lead us today in a closing hymn. How has God spoke to you? Be obedient to what He would have you to do in this moment, and He'll not disappoint.